You're listening to the Small Business Talk podcast with Kathy Smith, episode 49.
Small Business Talk is a podcast for business owners and entrepreneurs who want a better way to run their businesses without spending years doing it the hard way. Small Business Talk is hosted by Kathy Smith, who has run the same marketing agency for more than 17 years. And help hundreds of business owners achieve their marketing goals.
Happy New Year! Welcome to 2020. Can you believe Christmas has been and gone, and most people will be heading back to work next week? At the time of recording, Australia is gripped in its worst bushfire season in history, with up to 1,000 homes being destroyed, 15 people being killed, and 3.1 million hectares, or approximately 8.4 million acres, of land being burnt. Our hearts, prayers and thoughts go out to everybody who's been affected, and to all the wonderful men and women who have largely given up their time to help fight these fires. In Australia, most people who help fight the fires and protect our homes and properties are highly skilled volunteers, and we thank them. This is one of the most important reasons for you to have a thriving business that supports you well. So in these times of disaster, you are able to give a little or a lot of time or money to these great causes. How are you going with your goal setting? Have you sorted out all your plans for 2020? Written them down? Broken them up into chunks, micro goals, and planned out how you're going to tackle them each week? If you need a bit of help, go back to episode 48 of Small Business Talk, to where Charlotte Brown and I discuss the steps that you will need to take for successful goal setting. Did you take a good look at yourself and your business and wonder why you're on this whole entrepreneurial journey? And if it's for you, well, before you throw the baby out with the bathwater, why don't you listen to today's episode? This week, as part of our holiday series, I'm going to replay our very first episode of Small Business Talk, How to Fall in Love with Your Business, where I spoke to Pauline Bright. Pauline goes through some different phases of your business life and how you might be able to look at your business in a different light, a more loving light. I hope you enjoy this replay of the Small Business Talk Episode 1. Next week we will be back to our regular format, and it will be our 50th episode. So really looking forward to that. Now it's over to Pauline and how to fall back in love with your business.
Today we're having a chat with special guest Pauline Bright from Bright Business Coaching, the award-winning business coach with over 14 years experience. She's personally had 11 businesses. She's a coach and a mentor and loves helping business owners to create businesses that they would love. And we're going to be talking about how to fall in love with your business again. Welcome, Pauline.
Brilliant. Thanks, Kathy. Great to be here.
So how would we fall in love with our business again, and why do we need to fall in love with our business again?
Well, it's one of those things that I think most people come across at some point in their business career. First of all, you have to look at why do you fall out of love with your business. And so I treat it a bit like a romance. So when a romance dies, we do all kinds of things. So we blame the other person, you know, they're stupid, they're this, they're that, and you can blame your business as well. And it could be that you and your business were a bit of a mismatch. You were never really suited to each other. Sometimes the business becomes harder than you imagined it was going to be. So it's not as much fun as it used to be.
No, that's so very true, isn't it?
And things change. You know, that's like right. In any relationship, people grow and people don't and things like that. So in your business, things change and it's not the relationship that you started out with. Right. The original idea you had and where you are now could be worlds apart. A lot of what happens also is that people blame themselves, you know, like, I mustn't be cut out for this, or, you know, it's just not my thing. Sometimes we just get down on ourselves.
Oh, we do. And we just think, well, We can't possibly be a business owner. It must be for somebody else.
Yes. But, you know, that's that, do we push through or do we give up? So I'll talk about that in a second as well, because I like that angle of what do you quit? And then there's a vision. So most people, when you start out with a business, you start with some kind of vision of what it's going to be like. And somewhere along the line, where you thought it was going to be and where it is now, totally different places. So the vision has gone. That can make a big difference as well.
It's so very like that meme you see, where is success? And your start should be at one end, success should be at the other end, and it's a straight line.
Yeah. No,
and it's never like that, is it?
Doesn't happen like that at all.
It's a perfect squiggle.
Yeah. And then there's, for some people, a business affair is a bit like a short fling, a short mad fling. So they kind of engage with it and then discover that they never really meant it to be a long-term thing. And all of a sudden they find themselves in a long-term relationship with their business and they don't actually like it.
True.
So that's an interesting place to be. So I call that the 7-year itch. You know, sometimes we get the 7-year itch. It's just not as much fun as we thought it was going to be. And so what do we do next?
Perfect.
And I think these are great questions to ask, because until you know what your relationship with your business is, you won't know how to fix it. You know, talking about personalities, if you're a great starter but you're not a great finisher and you really don't love the middle bits of business, the constant kind of demand on your time and attention and your energy, then you have to work out which of the bits I love the most. So for some people, it's just the start of things.
Yep.
And some people, it's the finish of things. So I love to tidy up and finish after people. For some people, it's that kind of that nice, slow, steady, let's just get this moving and keep going. And until you know what kind of person you are, you won't know what you're suited to.
Absolutely.
So you absolutely have to start at the beginning.
Yes.
You know, what are the things that are causing this problem mm-hmm. before I can fix it?
Yes.
I reckon that falling out of love is not such a bad thing after all.
Absolutely, because sometimes you just need that reinvigoration, re-energy.
Yeah, and it's what makes you look at things differently. You know, you can stand back and see it from a different perspective, and I like that. And sometimes it might be time to quit.
Indeed.
You know, I love the way Seth Godin writes about this in The Dip. He says, you don't have to quit everything, but what you quit makes a difference to what you stick with and how the whole thing progresses from there.
Perfect. So it might be a case of delegation rather than wrapping up the baby and throwing it out with the bathwater.
Absolutely.
And getting completely out of your business.
Yes, yes. And I think that's a shame, because I think that people don't go into a business with the idea of going back to a job that they just left.
No,
because they couldn't make the business work. They really want the business to work.
Yep.
And it does. I find it quite distressing to see people go back to something that they just left because they couldn't make the business work. And I do think that you should fall in love with your business. I do think that it should be a love affair. It should be a really exciting ride. You know, it should be like something where you just get out of bed every day and just go, I love it. I can't wait to get there. And I think if it's anything short of that, you need to do something about it.
Absolutely. And sometimes that just reinvigoration is like almost having a new romance, so that you can then fall back in love and get
absolutely.
Back on the horse and off you go.
Yes, yes. One of the things that you have to look at to fall back in love with your business is look at the things that no longer serve you, the parts of your business that you really don't like.
Yep.
So this is a little bit like looking at your partner and thinking, why do they have that disgusting habit or that irritating thing that they do? And so the things that irritate you about your business make you want to turn away or do something different. You need to look at those things first and then work out, well, can I live with it or do I need to change it?
Okay.
And I can almost guarantee that most of those things that are happening happen because of habits you've got. The business is an inanimate object. It's nothing. It's your personality that's in the business. So if you work out, what are my habits? What are the things that I'm saying to myself about my business? And you can understand that, you know, you can talk yourself into it or you can talk yourself out of it.
I mean, it's like getting up in the morning and having a crazy bad day, or getting up in the morning and going, that guy cut me off on the way to work, but I'm fine.
Yeah.
Everything's good. I'm going to have a good day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really a decision. But, you know, I'm a little bit strange. I listen to songs that play in my head.
Okay.
But when you listen to the songs that play in your head, and everyone's got their own method, like there'll be a little trigger. I listen to the songs, I listen to the lyrics and go, oh, isn't that interesting? I must be feeling that way or thinking that thing.
Yep.
There's triggers inside your business. There's triggers inside you that lets you know what's happening. And it could be dreams, it could be daydreams, it could be conversations you have, it could be things you're watching on TV, it could be a million things. If you just stand back and focus on what am I listening to? What am I telling myself? What's going on here? Because, you know, like we said, you can talk yourself into it or out of it. It's entirely your choice.
Absolutely.
So you do have to be very careful about what you listen to.
Yes.
Looking at things that no longer serve your business, this is a little bit like, so you know how in shopping centres where every so often they make shop owners redo their businesses, so they revamp them, they make them, you know, spruce them up, you know, new flooring, new fittings, new everything, really give them a new fresh look. Yeah. If you don't have that kind of pressure on you as a business owner from the outside, it's something you have to look at for yourself.
What a great idea.
You do need to think about, if I were to spruce up my business every few years, what would it need? And so if you think about it, I guess it's the difference between going to the day spa, getting your nails done or getting your hair cut, nice new haircut or some nice new snazzy clothes, or do you need the full facelift?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that different.
And maybe it's like when people are selling their homes, they do it up really nice, they finish everything off, put those PowerPoints back on, they give it a coat of paint, and then they don't want to sell it. So if you looked at your business like that and gave it that haircut, that spruce up, that paint job, whatever, then now we've got almost a brand new business and we're off and ready to go again.
Yeah. It's like giving your business some TLC.
Yes.
You know, if you were in a relationship with somebody, you wouldn't withhold the cuddles.
No.
Because they're important and they're the things that bind it together. Well, this is like giving your business a big cuddle, really, and helping it to just feeling better about it, you know. And if you're the face of the business, if you're the person inside the business, then this holds equally true for you as well. Business owners tend to flog themselves to death.
Indeed.
You know, like just take everything to the nth degree and try to do too much. And then we fall over.
Yes.
And then we fall out of love with our business because we blame the business. It's the business's fault that I'm like this, but actually it's not.
No.
It's you. As a person just going, I have some really bad habits.
And sometimes that's quite hard to take. You really got to look yourself in the mirror and go, okay, what am I portraying? What am I putting out there?
Yeah.
And what am I telling my staff?
Absolutely. And if you don't listen to what's going on in your head, if you don't pay attention to that stuff, that's when you fall over and you fall out of love.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you want to, it's not a bad thing in the sense that it makes you stop and take notice. Wouldn't it be nice just to keep your relationship on an even keel?
Yeah, but that's not how humanity is it?
That's true. There's some cures. I have some cures.
Perfect. That's what we like to hear.
The best thing you can do is bring the romance back into your business.
Sounds good.
What you've got to think about is, are we just going through a bad patch, my business and me, or do we really need to get some counselling? What do we need to bring us up to date to inject that enthusiasm? This is about honouring yourself as well. One of the things I like to work with is looking at the person who owns the business and thinking about what's happening inside their life. And so if you're under stress, if you don't get enough sleep and you don't eat well and you put yourself under impossible pressure, it's really hard to love your business as well. Because if you don't love yourself, it's very hard to give it out.
Absolutely.
So you've got to have a look at what are you doing and what are you, you know, the habits you've got, the things that are going on inside your head and how you think about your business. That will make a huge difference.
I totally see that.
When you know what the problem is, when you know what the problems are, you can start looking for the solution. And
perfect.
So by bringing the romance back, I'm talking about really understanding what fires you up.
Yep.
You know, I think when you're in business, it should be a case of jumping out of bed every day just thinking, what's next? What's, you know, this is great. What am I going to do next? Unfortunately, we tend to drag ourselves through the morning just going, oh, my God, I'm here again and it's Monday.
So, got it for Saturday.
Yeah, so the thing that interests me most is why people are in business. What is it that caused you to go into business? So what do you think, Kathy? There's need for money.
Absolutely.
What
but
else?
Then why wouldn't you go into business if you didn't need money? Lifestyle. You want to be able to work while the kids are at school.
Yeah.
Or you want to be able to go on holidays.
Yeah, absolutely, holidays.
Yeah.
If you can't have holidays, you're in the wrong business. So,
but how many small business people and business people in general don't schedule their own holidays?
Yeah, it's a bit like a honeymoon, you know.
It
you
is.
Really need a honeymoon. I think that people go into business with a genuine desire to help people.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you're not helping yourself, it's really hard to help other people. You know,
absolutely.
The energy kind of rubs off on those people as well.
Yes.
And I think We go into business because we find a gap in the market and we think we can do it better.
Okay.
So if we think we can do it better, then we'd have to work out, well, what does it look like? How do I do it better than other people? And, you know, sometimes I think people just go into business because they're bored. They fall into it and it's like, oh, all of a sudden I found myself in business and I was bored and I didn't know what to do and I thought I'd just keep myself out of mischief.
Or I didn't like working for that particular boss, so instead of looking for a new job, I'll make my own.
Yes, yes. All of those things are very valid, but until you know what's the outcome, if you're in business to make money, then find out what would make enough money for you to love your business as well. It's not mutually exclusive.
So it goes back to your why. There's Simon Sinek.
Yeah.
What is your why? Yeah. Why are you doing it?
Yeah. And for a lot of people, that's probably a very difficult question. And so it's one of those things where you think, well, why am I in business? What is it? What is my business giving me that is really enjoyable, that is enhancing my life, not sucking the life out of me?
And how many business people do you see that don't love their business anymore? It's totally sucking their life.
Yeah.
They need to fall back in love with their business.
It's like being a zombie, isn't it? You're kind of walking around not really knowing what's going on. But
which is totally sad.
Yeah. I touched on quitting before. So strategy number one is really talking about quitting. The whole idea, if you read Seth Godin's book, The Dip, he talks about being the best in the world. The world is not necessarily global. The world is just the marketplace that you've chosen to serve. So the world could be your local neighborhood. It could be your state. It could be, you know, your country, whatever it is. As long as you've determined that if I'm going to be the best in my world and in my client's world, if I'm going to be the best in my client's world, I'd have to work out what do they want? What do they want that I can deliver and I can deliver happily and that it really serves me as well? In order to do that, when you look at your business, you're going to have to quit some things. You're going to have to stop doing some of those things that wear you out and get you nowhere.
Well, that's a really great way to look at it. If you define your world as a much smaller thing, so like you say, your neighborhood, your client's neighborhood or their area, that's far less overwhelming and daunting than thinking of the world as globally.
Yeah,
that's
isn't
a great
it?
Way to look at it.
I think we've been conned into believing that we all should have a global business.
And for a lot of us, that's not where we need to go.
It's not the joy. It's not where we're happiest.
No, so, and it's so overwhelming to think about conquering the whole world.
Yeah.
So that's a great
and
way.
And it's really hard to be number one in the world at what you do because there's already lots of other people doing what you do or similar things. And you'd have to find a really unique angle to do things that differently in the global sense. It doesn't really take that much to work in a local sense and become the best, the go-to person in that world.
Yes.
Because that's way easier and doesn't cost you so much in marketing and effort and time and you'll enjoy it more as well. Look at the things you want to quit. And look at the things you want to stick with and read the book. Like the book is brilliant. It's a 2-hour read. It's a little tiny book and it's a brilliant little read. Now, strategy number two is you can talk yourself into or out of anything. The best thing you can do is think about what is it I want? Why am I in business? What do I want? How do I want to get it? Who do I want to play with? You know,
So ask those strategic questions.
Yes, because if you can ask those questions, instead of just trying to serve everybody, and what I see is, you know, instead of people quitting as well, people try to expand what they do instead of just getting really good at some really core things that you can be known for.
So instead of going wide, go deep and be very good at it.
Yeah, go deep. Whatever happens in your business, it's up to you to take responsibility for it.
Absolutely.
Can't blame other people for it.
No
you can't
way.
Blame your customers. I hear so many people blaming their customers.
Oh.
Really, the customers, it's not really their fault. Sometimes,
Sometimes
you're attracting poor customers. So, you know, that's a whole other story. The thing about the strategy is to understand what it is you want, be the best in that world, and go nice and deep. Nurture yourself as well. I don't find it very difficult at all to learn about business, study business, because I'm fascinated by it. I just love it. And so for me, that's not a chore.
It's more a passion then.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is about finding your passion.
Absolutely.
Strategy number three, and this is the one where I think a lot of people fall down. I was on a a social media site the other day having conversations with people, and there was a guy asking, what are your tips and tricks for getting over Mondayitis? You know, I've got Mondayitis, I party too hard on the weekend, and I just can't even face work on Monday.
Oh dear.
Yeah. So why are you in business? Why are you partying? Oh, it doesn't matter.
So, that we could go down a completely different story.
I know. And I do think there should be time for partying. Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
But see, there's a solution to this. And it was really funny because people were talking about, you know, I drink a cup of hot water, I do Pilates, I go for a walk, I eat this kind of breakfast, I do this, I do that. None of those things are relevant unless they're going to suit that person.
Absolutely.
So the idea is, rather than being faced with Mondayitis, make your Monday attractive.
Perfect.
On a Sunday night, you know what you're going to be doing on Monday morning and you just can't wait to get to it. In my business, I don't make appointments on Mondays because Monday's my day. I'm very protective of my Mondays. And if you ever want to get anything done in business, then you've got to carve out some time for yourself to work on those special projects.
Yes.
If you carve out Monday as a really fun day, so for me, it's my project day, it's my learning day, it's my marketing day, all the things I really love to do. I look forward to Mondays. And I also look forward to Fridays because Fridays are my freedom day. Freedom, funds, family, friends, whatever I want to do on a Friday, it's sort of like launching into the weekend as well. So I've got these nice top and tail weekdays, and then I've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to really get into my business and do the work of my business.
What a great idea.
So, and this is not going to fit every business, but I do think you need to be a bit selfish. You want to really love your business. It's a good idea to do things that you want to do.
And also to look at working on your business, not in your business. And if you've got that block time, you're able to do that.
Yeah. And well, the way I look at it, it's being reactive or proactive. And so if you don't have any proactive time in your business to work on the projects that you really love and the things that are going to build your business, you'll always be reactive. I'm at my best in the mornings. So I do my proactive work in the mornings, I'll make courses, I'll do some writing, I'll do, you know, work on projects because that's when my energy is highest. And then in the afternoon, I might look at my emails and I might do some reactive stuff, things I need to do. So it's about that combination of both of those things.
That sounds great. And especially with your email, because you get very reactive with emails. And if you start your day like that, quite often you can completely block.
Yes. And then you get to the end of the day and think, well, I've done nothing for myself.
No.
I didn't love it. I had Mondayitis. It was horrible.
And it was Wednesday. Yeah. Oh, no.
Man, you're really behind the eight ball. I want to give you a bonus now. The fourth tip is really about working out where you best fit in your business. Some people are starters. Some people are brilliant at starting and then they just taper off at the end. So if you knew that about yourself, that you're a really good starter, then the way you'll fall back in love with your business is to be the starting person. Be the person who picks up the projects, comes up with the ideas, is the person who initiates stuff. And then you find a team. You might not have a team already, but you could have a virtual team, or you look around at the people around you who've got the skills you don't have, and then to start to put that thing together. I see so many creative people who start stuff and then they don't finish it because they don't know what to do with it. They have no idea. They don't know who to give it to finish.
They can't get onto that next step.
Yeah.
So if you can use, like you say, a virtual team or contractors, maybe do some of that grunt work for you.
Yeah.
So you come up with the idea, set the plan up, pass it on to them, and then you might finish the end of it.
Yeah.
Sounds
and
perfect.
It's a much nicer place to be because it's more energizing as well. You might be a starting person. If you were a middle person, then I would say you should be managing your business. If you're the person who likes to control everything and, you know, you're in operations and you're in everything, you know what's going on in your business and you love that and you love working with people, management is probably the best position for you in your business. And so that could be a long-term prospect as well. Maintaining a relationship rather than, you know, going out and having an affair. So maintaining that relationship. And then the last one is the finishers. And, you know, I don't think that we have enough finishers. But there's people in the world who love to bring things to fruition. And, you know, these are the people like VAs, assistants, people who absolutely love to gather all that chaos together and put it into something that can be completed and implemented. And I think that's what happens with the people with great ideas. They run out of implementers or they don't connect with implementers, so they don't get things done. But I think if you can take your business from the starting phase and the ideas that you've got, gather great people around you, who can help you with all the middle bits and the finishing bits, you'll enjoy it more. You'll get way more done and you'll enjoy it more. And your business can't help but be successful after you've done that.
Sounds perfect. And it sounds like you could give it a nice little haircut, yeah. Trip to the day spa,
yeah.
And fall in love with your business again.
Yeah.
Well, that was brilliant. Thank you very much, Pauline. Now go to our final five. Couple of quick questions. What was the biggest help you received when starting your business? Think about your current one, Bright Business Coaching, or if you've got a particular story that you want to tell us quickly.
I think the biggest thing that helped me in business was having a mentor, and my dad was my first mentor. And my dad always said to me, Pauline, you can do whatever you want to do. As long as you know what it is, I'll back you. And I don't think you can replace that kind of faith and belief in somebody. I mean, Dad helped me start my first business, mechanically helped me get the business name and things like that. Having someone believe in me and understand and recognize that I could do good stuff was probably the biggest boost ever.
Perfect. Okay. What do you wish you had known when you started out that you know now?
You know, sometimes it's better to be blind. Sometimes it's better not to know things. The thing that would have really helped was financial understanding, really understanding how a business works. I was good at the creative side of business. I was interested in the growth and things like that. I was always looking for help, but I really didn't understand the financial side of it. I made that my mission to really get to grips with the financial side of it. And most people go, ugh, can't stand it, hate it. But you know what? It's the oil in the wheels. You have to do it.
If you're not making money, you haven't got a business.
That's right.
Perfect. The next question was, what advice has been given to you by your mentor? So I guess that was your dad.
Yeah, I
think. What was the best advice given to you by a mentor?
The best advice was just have a go. Really, if you think you can do it, go ahead and do it. And you're going to make some mistakes, you're going to fall over, you're going to fail, but you're going to have some great successes as well. And what you focus on is what you get. So,
perfect.
Yeah, focus on the good stuff.
I heard a good analogy today that said when you're training a small child to walk, you never once think that they'll never walk. It's just a case of fall down, pick up. And whether it's 6 months, 12 months, 4 years, you know they're going to walk. So if we had the same faith in ourselves and especially in our businesses, imagine what we could do.
Yeah.
What is the one thing that you have to do every day?
Oh, I have to read. Every day I have to read because I want to be a good writer. I aspire to be a good writer. So I write a lot, but I read a lot as well because I think by reading, you get a better sense of how to become a better writer. Writing's all about communicating your message, telling your story. Helping people get a better understanding of where you're coming from.
Perfect. What is your favourite business book and why?
Have you got time for a million of them?
Let's go with one. You've already given us one with Dip.
I think probably one of the most influential was Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And the thing that stands out for me is sharpen the saw, because I think that's about really honing your skills.
Definitely. Sounds good. So that's our final five. Where can people find you? If they've loved this, where can they work with you more?
You can find me at paulinebright.com. Pretty simple. If you want to call me, 0413 739 196. Always happy to have a chat because I love talking to people about business ideas. Just tell me what you've got and we'll see what we can make of it.
Sounds perfect. Well, thank you very much, Pauline, for being our very first guest speaker on Small Business Talk.
Thanks, Gabby.
Thanks, Pauline.
Next week, we will be back to our regular format, and it will be our 50th episode. So really looking forward to that.
Don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk podcast and head on over to smallbusinesstalk.com.au/downloads for all the show notes and links to this episode. Remember, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode, take action, and implement it. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Until then, take action. And SBT community, enjoy your journey.